churchy words sometimes, we're saying, what is an ordinance? What is that? Well, the Lord's Supper is one of them. That is a command that Christ has given us as the church that we partake in. There's actually two ordinances that we look. Next week will be baptism. And some of those very kids that we are been teaching are going to be baptized in the river. So I also, last week we covered the Lord's Supper and baptism. So it's a neat thing that they get to see that and a part of that. Isn't that a great thing to teach our young people to pass those things on, the command of Jesus Christ in their life and what he's commanded us to do? It's an ordinance of the Lord. It's something that we do and will do until he takes us home or when he comes back to be with him. So, I mean, either way, it's a win-win situation. But before we take of the Lord's Supper this morning, I want us just to challenge you, a short challenge. And I want you to see in our 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 32, it's actually 23 through 32 that we're going to be covering. And so I want us to think about the Lord's Supper and the things that Christ said to do this in remembrance of him. Do this in remembrance of him. And I want us to think about remembering this morning. Now, I don't know what you're going through. I'm sure some of you guys could get up and you could talk about hardships, things that you're facing, whether it's illnesses or friends or things that maybe you've dealt with. But I want you to know this morning, I want you to put that aside. I want you to think about things that we're to remember and what we're supposed to be doing here at the Lord's table. And I want us to think about remembrance, doing this in remembrance of him. And the first thing I want us to do is remember what Jesus has done. And that's 23 through 26. I want us to think about, and this is what the Scripture says as we're looking at. Let me turn the page here if we were. 23, verse 23 in chapter 11. Remembering what Jesus has done. And he says, for I received, this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. Paul, first I want us to remember, to think about the Lord Jesus. And Paul gives us a historical setting, and it was on the Passover. If we know the Last Supper that we want to call it is the Passover meal. The Passover was a very important time for the Jews because it represented what God had done to deliver them from Egypt. If you remember, they took it when God told them to get ready to come out of Egypt, that the firstborn, the final plague, all the Egyptian firstborn would be killed, that they would go in haste, that they would leave Egypt. And so not to make bread that had yeast in it, but it'd be unleavened bread. And so The Passover meal with the unleavened bread for any Jew was a remembrance of the Lord's deliverance from Egypt to them. And so I want you to think about this historical setting where the Lord Jesus changes everything. And here we are, 2014, we're going to partake of this same meal that he instituted that night, but it was a new thing for these guys. And he took this bread and he broke it. And I love what he said. He said, do this in remembrance of me, but he also said that it was broken for you. Broken for you. I want us to think about that this morning. The Lord was broken for you, his crucifixion. And we'll have time to reflect on that. But he tells us, and then he took the cup that represented, if you'll see, look what he says in 24, saying, when he had taken and broken, he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me. And in 25, he said, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Now, remember the cup represented, there were four cups, this is the third cup, and it represented the blood. Now think about the Passover meal. Back to Exodus again. Remember, they're at the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, the Passover meal, and the blood. You remember what they did with the blood? Was the lamb that was smeared over the doorpost. So when the death angel came into Egypt that night, when the angel saw the blood smeared over the door, he passed over. And that's what this cup. Jesus is instituting a new thing this tonight. And he's saying that on this night here before him. He's saying the blood no longer represents the Passover lamb. I want you to think, get a hold of this. But it represents the Lamb of God that's going to shed his blood for each and every one of us. For all humanity, the answer to all humanity. That, you know what? That when that blood's applied to your life, that when the death angel comes, it passes over. We don't die eternally anymore.
service last night, when he received that sacrifice, he was saved and ushered in. We will have eternal life. Oh, yes, we'll face death physically, but spiritually we will never face death when we receive Christ as our Savior. And so he's instituting this cup. Please see the significance of this at this supper for the Jews and what it meant. For thousands of years, they had this Passover meal. God's no longer, you know what? And the Passover represented the sacrifices. Think of the millions and millions of blood sacrifices that were given by the animals up to that time. You know what Jesus is saying? This will be the last blood that will ever have to be shed. He's instituting this, and that's why he took that cup, and that's why he says, do this in remembrance of me. I want us to take out just a moment. Everybody shut your eyes. Shut your eyes, and I want you to focus on Jesus Christ and what he did and his sacrifice for you. Think about Calvary. Think about this supper. He's facing the cross the next day. The Lord beaten and bruised for nobody else but your sins. Your sins. Think about the Lord Jesus. Just shut your eyes and go back in remembrance. And when he says do this in remembrance, it's a recall. It's a thinking back of what Christ has done for you. Think about him nailed to the cross, and the reality and the significance of the event that's happening and in your life and what it means to you. That once and for all sacrifice. And then rededicate yourself to that. What Christ did in your own life. How he changed you. The reason that most of you are sitting here is because of what he's done for you. And that's what's called doing this in remembrance of him. You know, we understand when we think about that. Think about Peter's comment in Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name. That's the name of Jesus Christ. Now open your eyes. Every day we should do that. We should rehearse what Christ has done for us. I'm so glad that he didn't stay on that cross. He died and they buried him. In a tomb, in a borrowed tomb, but 3 days he arose. We don't just focus on the cross. The cross was what he did for us in the sacrifice, but his resurrection is why we have life, and we have eternal life. It's his resurrection that makes the difference in our lives. One day, it says, because Christ was raised, we shall all be raised just like him, together in heaven. And he goes on, and he says, do this in remembrance. And in 26, he says, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread, which we're getting ready to partake of in just a few minutes, eat this bread, or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We will do this. This is something that we will do as a church body, as God's people, until he comes back again. That's how important that it is for him. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. When will he come? He could come back before we finish. But until he does, we do this in remembrance of him. So the first thing is to do is remember what Jesus has done for you. And then secondly, our second point is remember our need for repentance. Look at 27 through 32. And first see the warning. Look at verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. So we see a warning, and Paul says, if you partake of this bread or drinks the cup in the Lord in an unworthy manner, he said, you'll be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. What's he talking about? How is it that we can partake of the Lord's supper or the Lord's table in an unworthy manner? If you know that you have known sin in your life, if you're sitting in this room, you're living in a sinful lifestyle, you know that it's contrary to God's word, you're making choices that are not godly, you know that right now, me saying that, it catches you right where you're at. We don't have to go into details. You take the Lord's Supper, you're doing it unworthily. All right, how else, Dave? How about rules and ritual and religion? Just doing it as a ritual or a routine or a religious act. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with a living God through Jesus Christ. Coming to the Lord's Supper or Lord's table in an unworthy manner. Sin in your life,
routine, ritual, just going through the motions and not doing some soul searching. There's a warning there. And that's a great warning when it says you'll be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. To partake in an unworthy manner is a terrible dishonor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, not only a warning, but look at the instruction in 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So the instruction is a warning about a sin partaking of it the wrong way, but the instruction is to examine yourself. It's in a time of an examination, and we know that Paul said this several times. He says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he tells us to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Is it all right? He said, well, I've never questioned my salvation, which Paul says to examine, to make sure, to know that you're saved. I'm not talking about question or to doubt, but there should be some examination time in our life when it comes to salvation and when it comes to the Lord's Supper this morning. It's examining ourselves, to give ourselves a self-examination before we partake, to look honestly at our hearts for anything that would not be worthy of partaken worthily. Is there impure motives? Are there things that we haven't forgiven people for? You fill in the blanks. Examine yourself and make sure that you're worthy of the Lord's table. What about our motives? What about our attitudes to the Lord or His Word or for His people? Paul says, instructs us, he says, to examine ourselves. Is there things that I need to look at? Well, not only that, look at the reasoning because of it. So we saw the warning, we saw the instruction, but look at the reason in 29 and 30. It says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And then 30 says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. The reason that he warns us and instructs us is because it says when we partake, there's chastisement there. Now, I want you to understand, we don't, as God's children, if you've come to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He dwells within you, that if not a condemnation, there's no condemnation. In fact, Romans 8 tells us there's no condemnation. We will not stand condemned before our sin. We'll stand in Christ's righteousness. But He says right here that there is chastisement as a child of God. Aren't you glad that He does chastise us? We should be glad of that. So He's saying when we partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, that He's chastening, and look at what He says. I mean, the Bible says it's self-explanatory. For this reason, we are weak and sick. There's many weak and sick among you. And then He said, and many sleep. There's many that have died because of partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. How important is that, guys? How important is that? And it says sleep. And anytime we see sleep, it's dealing with unbelievers, it's always dead. But when you see sleep, you'll see that it's Paul is speaking oftentimes of believers. And so he's saying that as believers, that we, when we take the Lord's Supper with sin in our life, we haven't examined ourselves, that it can bring sickness and death. You know what? I don't want that for anybody. I certainly don't want it for myself. Do you realize that I have to examine myself? I've been doing that all week, knowing the Lord's Supper is coming. I've been saying, Lord, you know, God, help me be prepared. Help me be ready. That just because I'm a pastor, don't make me, everything's fine. And Pastor Dave's ready. I'm just like you. I have to examine myself. I have to see if there's uncleanness. I have to see if there's sin that needs to be purged. And so I want us, not only we saw the warning, the instruction, the reason, but lastly, the application. And this is 31 through 32. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. You know what Paul's saying, God, taking it even further, the application is, when we see that we're right with the Lord, we're in a right relationship with Him, we don't have to worry about this judgment that comes into our life. My question now is, are you ready to partake of the Lord's table? I want us to shut our eyes for just a moment. I want you to go to the Lord again. Go to the Lord. If there's sin in your life, confess it now. Do not take of the Lord's table. Linda, you're going to come up and begin to play. And then I'm going to have Lee. When we get ready, we're going to be getting ready to partake of the Lord's table. Barry, we can get ready to go ahead and give out the bread. But I want us to have a time of reflection right now. Search your heart. Ask God to forgive you if there's known sin. If you're not willing to confess of that, do not take of this today. It's that important. If there's sin that you know that you've not confessed, if there's somebody you can't forgive, forgive them. Let it go or do not partake of the Lord's table. Whatever it is that God is showing you this morning, ask Him to forgive you of it. Ask Him to cleanse you of it. Have Him show you. Let Him show you things that might you need to take care of today before we partake of the Lord's table. I'm going to pray. I want this to be a continuation time of worship. And then we'll partake of the Lord's table. What a great thing to do, by the way, for believers. Let's pray. Father, God, I've confessed everything that I can think of. And yet, so many times I worry if there's impure motives that I'm even just ignorant of. God, I confess all that to you also because, Lord, you're so worthy of our praise, our adoration. You're so worthy of our remembrance of what you've done for each and every one of us here today. Thank you, God. I pray if there's somebody here that has sin in their life, maybe somebody's lost. A lost person should never partake of the Lord's cup or bread. Let them make it right. Ask Christ in their heart right now. God, if there's a believer that has sin and they know they've been sinning, I pray they'll get it right. Truly repent. That means turning from their sin. Not just mouthing it, but turning from their sin. Help nobody partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.
David asked me to share a testimony of just how the Lord is just working in the Wilder's life, and because he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so each time that we're able to is to remember the gospel of what Jesus has done. And so I want to share just a couple of things that the Lord's been teaching us over the last several weeks, a couple of months. It just sums up in one word: is trust. And it's very difficult sometimes. I don't know about struggle with trust, but it's hard to trust in the Lord sometimes because we get in the way. I get in the way. And in moving the tide, there's been a lot of changes that have gone on in our lives. And in those changes, the Lord is over and over and over and over and over, and I could go on just teaching me to trust in Him and His provision through financial means, through just friendship and fellowship, and even a faith family providing that for us here in Todd. We rejoice in what the Lord's done with us. But I'll tell you that through the cross and through the resurrection, He's taught us to trust in the greatest provision that God has ever made for us, and that's His life. And so I want to challenge you that as we're about to partake with not only the cracker or the bread, but also the juice, is that you and I will be reminded that Jesus died for our sin, that we have died to ourselves of living life for ourselves. And that's okay because He's called us to do that. And He says that's okay because He has provided that life through the resurrection for us to live in Him, to live for Him. And so today as you crunch down on that piece, that you will be reminded that He was broken for us, that He died that horrific and torturous death for you, for me, to pay that penalty for us, for me, so that we could have that life in Him and for Him forever. And so as we partake, will you remember that? That's just what the Lord's been teaching us. And I think every day of our lives, He wants to remind us to trust in Him. Amen? So will you remember to continue to trust in the Lord and His provision?
said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper. I want to give you my own testimony this morning. I'm so humbled when I stand here before you because I grew up not in a Christian home, not learning the ways of the Lord Jesus. Yeah, I see many of you with your kids here, and I thank you so much for that. That's so important. I didn't know to come to know Christ till I was late in my life. A lot of you have heard my testimony at 28 years old. But more and more, I've realized that the Lord's Supper is not just something that we do in remembrance as a body of what Christ did, but it's also a proclamation to the world that we're Christ's children and that we're not ashamed of His blood. Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. For 28 years, I lived without the Lord and did everything the world had to offer. I don't want to go into details breaking on God, but I can tell you this. There's nothing there. I tried it all. Nothing there that brings any lasting satisfaction. And when you get to the end of your rope after you've tried it all, and you know there's still longing, there's something inside that's still grinding, it's the Lord Jesus that you're looking for. And that Wednesday night, February 28, 1990, because I had a good friend that loved me enough to invite me to come to church, I heard the message of Jesus again, but I realized that that's what I'd been searching for. Through the Holy Spirit, He opened my eyes that night. And I received the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I realized that the void that was inside, that I was trying to fill with the things of the world, He filled in just a moment. And the reason I'm standing here before you today as your pastor, which I cannot believe, sometimes I have to pinch myself because I know where I've come from, is because of what the blood of Jesus Christ did in my life. And I want you to know, if you don't have that, you're lost. You're lost. Period. And you can play around, you can play games, and you might have made a profession of faith, but your life's not changed. He's not there. I don't want anybody to be lost. I prayed early in here this morning, prayed for everybody that's going to be here to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because life's too short to live without Him. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us, it changes us, it makes us into who we are. Am I perfect? Far from it. You can ask my wife that. Far from perfect. But I serve a perfect Savior, and His blood has been applied to my life. And one day I'll stand before God, not condemned, but sanctified through His blood. And that's the only thing that will get us into heaven. And so as we go to the Lord and we think about that blood, I want us to make sure it's been applied to our own. Same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. It's a very, very powerful thing when we think about what you did for us. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your body. Thank you for this great testimony of what you have done in all of our lives. Lord, I pray for that one as we get ready to go into a time of invitation. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to make up something right with you. And then, Lord, as we open the doors of the church, speak to those that would want to be a part of this body. Lord, we thank you for the great privilege of being here. Thank you for the Lord's table and what he's done for each and every one of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Everybody stand. Church with you next Sunday. I love you. Anything that we can do for you, let us know. Very interesting.